The Dodgers have left town. The Dodgers have left town. Now the Padres are coming to town, and they can pitch better than the Dodgers. Or at least, that's what we've been told by Mr. Javier Reyes, who is joining us from the Locked On Padres podcast. And we're going to be talking about this and more on today's Locked On Astros podcast.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
Okay, Javier. Jeff came on our show earlier this week, and he bullied us.
The Snide Dog?
Yes, Snide Dog came on. No, actually, he's pretty cool. But he came on the show, and he offered a lot of good advice. I know a lot of people had some opinions about what he had to say. But I know you're a super nice guy, and you have a lot of valuable opinions about the Padres. So where can they find you at on Twitter?
They can find me. First you follow, you can follow the Locked On Padres account at @LO_Padres. Great memes on there. Great Padres talk on there. Not always all the stats, but I do have always the passion, I guess you could say. Some fun videos on there every now and then. And then my personal account is at Javipeno, and that's spelled Javipeno. And memes and dreams on there, man. Everything. I've been tweeting more about baseball lately, just because I noticed that it ramps up the interaction and whatnot when I tweet more about baseball, to be honest with you. So that's more fun, and I like to be reinforced to help my ego and everything with the likes and retweets. But otherwise, yeah, check me out on there. And, you know, crazy season so far for a ton of different ways. Like, I don't even know where to start, man. I'm excited for the series, though.
All right, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us this week. We're probably going to do it Friday after the game or Saturday after the game. And get in the action. Locker Room, it's changing the way we talk sports. And don't forget to go and subscribe to Locked On Astros podcast on YouTube. Remember, we're trying to get to 1,000 subscriptions. That way we can get going with this podcast. And thank you to, we're almost to 300, Brett, I think, right? We're at like around 295 or 296 or something.
That's right. So we're 4 or 5 away.
Hey, I'm a subscriber. So, you should all
right. Too. Cool. So we got a lot to talk about. And guys, don't forget to download us every podcast. You can listen on Spotify, Apple, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcast. Just listen to Locked On Padres podcast if you want to, if you like that team, or listen to Locked On Astros podcast. So. I was looking at the stats, and I was surprised how good. I know the Padres are known for Slam Diego, but this year it seems like they're Pitch Diego. So, are you surprised by that?
I appreciate the attempt at the pun there. To a degree, I'm surprised because when you look at the Padres, I mean, because part of it's like, look, they added all these players in the offseason, very famously. They had Darvish, Snell, and Musgrove. So if you told me the Padres pitching was going to be good, that's not that much of a surprise. And also, while they are known, that's where the excitement comes from. I mean, every sport, guys, that's where the big stars are, is offense. Last year, their pitching was really good, too, with Denelson Lamet leaving the way, Zach Davies, a really good bullpen led by Drew Pomeranz, who literally didn't give up a run until, like, the last two games of the season. It was from, granted, a shortened season, but still, like, they were really good in the pitching department last year. It really is a all-around team. This isn't some team that only relies on their bats. And then this year, they basically just upgraded. And despite the fact that Denelson Lamet's only been a bullpen guy so far early on in the year, despite the fact that Chris Paddock struggles every now and then, despite the fact that Blake Snell has been disappointment is putting it lightly, you still have Yu Darvish, who's been basically untouchable. Joe Musgrove, San Diego's own, everybody knows, through the no-hitter this year, in my opinion, the best of the no-hitters that was thrown this year. No bias whatsoever. But you have all that combined with Joe Musgrove going to no-hit the Stros, says Tony Yayo. I'm a little bit doubtful of that. All the no-hitters this year, literally two of them, it's the three teams that have gotten no-hit twice. So shouts to the Bears, Indians, and Rangers. But yeah, and then on top of that, you have the the breakout of Ryan Weathers, who's been really great for the team. So it's not really all that surprising. And the bullpen's just as good as ever. So yeah, they've been more known for their pitching this year, and that's kind of been the story of the Padres. But bottom line is they are still as exciting as ever.
No, so the Padres, I noticed they won a 9-game homestand. They were 9-0. They did that first time since like 2008. That's huge. I know earlier in the year, Fernando Tatis had a weird swing and miss, and he had injured, I don't know, it was his shoulder or his elbow. And the news at first was almost like catastrophic. It was like they were lamenting whether he was going to be out for a long time, out for a year, if it was going to affect his career. My question is this: where is he with that? Is that something that's still a concern? Because I haven't heard much about it. Maybe you have a little bit more insight than we do.
I mean, the thing about this is, on the one hand, I could be like, well, look at his defense. That's where it's really impacting him. And it has been. He's made 14 errors, which is the lead in the major leagues. Despite being one of the best three shortstops defensively last year, he's regressed to what he was that first year, but arguably even worse than his rookie season with the glove, just making like very routine errors. And I wonder if part of that is the injury. But on the other side of things, I mean, his bat has just been unbelievable the past few weeks. And basically since the beginning of May onwards, he's been like awesome. He had huge hits even in today's game, which was a loss. Big RBI double. He comes up with stolen bases when the team needs him. It's just really been amazing to watch. And it's been a guy that, It's kind of a little tale of two cities in that case with the defense versus the offense. But it's kind of funny how that was the big story, and I'm watching him bat, and all I'm thinking about is the shoulder subluxation. I don't know about you guys, but I totally had never heard of subluxation before in my life. But to a degree, it's just we're never going to know details about injuries. I think that you can't by law, like, just know all the injuries from people, like the very specifics. The only thing we know is it's this thing, and I've heard so many different opinions. Some people are like, he's never going to be the same. Some people are like, actually, he can probably play through it, and it's something that he could get through in the offseason. Other people are like, it can blow up anytime. So it's just one of those things where I'm just appreciating the fact that he's playing well. You know, I'm just appreciating it while we do have him, and he's been it's his wallet that's holding Tatis' defense back. Big Thrillo says, I don't know, man. I think he's I disagree. I think that I don't know. I don't think the money has.
He doesn't come across to me as a guy like the first thing I think of whenever you think of big contracts and players falling off. And y'all might remember, this is an NFL reference. Albert Haynesworth. He signed like some huge $100 million contract. He gained like 800 pounds. He actually sat on Matt Schaub's knee and ruined the Texans' run for the Super Bowl 2011-2012. You'll see that a lot of times in the NFL with veterans. With baseball players like Tatis, that guy's electric. That guy cares. That guy wants to be the legacy. He wants to be the face of the MLB. So I don't think his wallet impacted. I think it just boosted his ego more. I mean, gosh, he was wearing that Slam Diego. He was wearing that Slam Diego chain the other day after that home run. And I was like, this guy hasn't meant this guy hasn't missed a step. And so
he didn't mean it as an insult. He just said
I imagine he did it. I just wanted to be a little bit of a jerk and throw back. But it's funny because it's one of those things where we all just kind of assume we're like, oh great, he's got a defense now. And now this year he's been just very erratic, and it's very simple errors, man. I'm talking like he has time to get the ball. It's like, you know, it's like an Albert Pujols tier of a base runner that's running to first base, and he just goes like that, and then just he kind of airmails it sometimes. Not even airmails it, that's a bit extreme, but he, you know, it's a low throw. And since Eric Hosmer isn't, you know, some gold glove, I mean, he literally has won a gold glove, but he's not the greatest defender, that impacts it even more. So I'm hopeful that he cleans up the defense. In fairness, sometimes guys go through a streak with defense. I bring this up with Jerickson Profar a lot. Let's go to Billard. Where he 1 year, I think, made like 15 errors in like a month and a half. And then for the rest of the season, he was like clean. That was with Oakland before he ended up getting traded to the Padres. So it could be a little bit of a streaky thing, but I'm optimistic for sure. He's been absolutely electric to watch. And I'm in love, obviously, with the swag chain and everything that's transpired from that.
All right. So speaking of being in love with something, I know some people get addicted with a certain type of advice. So Brett, talk a little bit about Lucy.co.
Yeah, Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed over 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that contains, in all three flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy lozenges and gums are also FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your FSA card to purchase Lucy now. Now, here's the deal. It's 2021, so get rid of the cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw away your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Locked On MLB Network listeners, go to lucy.co and use a promo code LOCKEDONMLB to get 20% off all products of your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. And also, I must make this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co, and be sure to use the promo code LOCKEDONMLB.
All right, before we get into the actual series, I want to ask you a question, Javier. Are the Giants legit?
Ooh, are the Giants legit? Well, you know, before we get into that, first, I just must say, Millard Shane Thomas, host of Locked On Diamondbacks, who's in the chat, that man is legit. Let me tell you, that's a legit man right there. I love Millard. Shout out to you. Thanks for tuning in, man. But no, seriously, with the Giants, I was talking to a lot of people, and I just think that that's a quirky, weird team that I call them the Island of Misfit Toys. They have all these guys on one-year contracts. They get Aaron Sanchez, who granted is hurt right now, but then Kevin Gausman's really underrated, called strike threes. His strikeout rate is awesome on everything that he does, and he's free of the Baltimore Orioles curse, apparently. Everybody who leaves Baltimore, as you guys know, becomes an A-plus pitcher. The guy was there for, like, what, 6 years? And then immediately is good with the Giants, just crazy. And you have guys like Mike Yastrzemski, and I do think that the Buster Posey, the way he's playing, is a little bit much right now. And even Evan Longoria, guys like that. But I'm expecting Yastrzemski to get better. I'm expecting guys like Alex Dickerson to get better. I think that they're good. I don't know if I'm buying them being as good as they have been, though. I still think they're lacking a little bit of the star power, a little bit of the certainty. But let me tell you, the one thing I am buying, though, Kevin Gausman. That guy's legit, 100%. I'd be so shocked if he has a fall off. Yeah.
So they're not the fluky Mariners from a couple years ago who lit MLB on fire and then totally fell off the face of the earth. They're somewhere in the middle is what you're saying.
Yeah. I imagine there's no tension there because they played in your division or anything like that, Brett.
Okay, it's the Mariners. You think I have tension about the Mariners or the Rangers? They're like a JV squad. I mean, it's like they might as well be a quadruple A team.
Yeah, they're not killing it right now. But no, I think the Giants are one of those teams that would be competing for a first place seed, maybe in another division, maybe NL Central. Maybe your guys' division. Maybe. I don't know. I can't get a good grip on your guys' division for some reason. Maybe like AL. Yeah. The White Sox division, maybe. They'd be competing a little bit more. But in this one, you could argue that the top two teams in baseball are in the NL West. Like, you really could. Some people might say 1-3, but Dodgers, so Padres, it's close.
Oh,
so.
I thought you meant Dodgers, Diamondbacks. I'm joking. No.
The Diamondbacks. Oh, man. Speaking of Millard, just falling apart. Just absolutely falling apart.
Alrighty, Javier. So are Padres Twitter or Padres fans coming in packs like the Dodgers did to Minute Maid Park to boo the Astros?
Oh, man. You know, I've been thinking about this. That's what I'm so excited for. First of all, just hope everyone has a good Memorial Day weekend and everything. But I'm glad glad that I'm playing like we're playing a team that I'm excited to play. Of course, it's easy to boo the Astros. I've talked with you guys before how I'm a little bit over some of the stuff. I'm not blaming the players for not being over it, but sometimes I'm like, all right, like, can we come up with a new joke every now and then? But granted, some of the players really, especially Dusty Baker, sometimes to stick their foot in it. But I can't wait. As you know, I'm big time Puerto Rican enforcer. I support all. I don't publicly, we're not the alliance isn't, you know, endorsing Carlos Correa right now. He's still part of it, but he's on paid suspension. You know what I mean? That's currently where he is. And by the way, 100%, I'll be hypocritical. Immediately once he leaves, I'm back on board. I'll be right back on board, loving him. But this is a fun series. The Astros have it feels like they've definitely fallen off a bit from obviously their World Series run and even the year after that and what have you, but still got a lot of good players, man. And I remember being in an auction draft, not to do the fantasy baseball thing, but being in an auction draft where someone's bidding super high on Alex Bregman and putting a lot in our Locked On League, by the way, I have him. And someone was like, oh no, buy an Astro. And someone in the chat was just like, unfortunately, he's very good, man. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the things about the Astros, despite everything. Bregman and Yordan. Yordan, by the way, is a little bit removed from all the Astros thing, just because he's young and all this stuff. And he's just so young and he barrels everything. I kind of didn't understand where the hype was coming from him just because it was a small sample size. But that guy is terrifying. And I would argue that he's the batter that I'm most scared of for this series. But then you still have other guys like Kyle Tucker. Even Altuve, to a degree, while he's not in his MVP, prime form necessarily anymore, they've got a really good offense and they got some interesting players on that team. Plus some weird pitching. I don't really know where the Astros are with their starting pitching. It's not as dominant, obviously, as like the Padres has been, right? But I'll tell you one thing: Zach Greinke's hilarious to watch. He's just sitting on the mound. He throws that 45-mile-hour pitch like once every other week, which is really weird. So I don't know. I'm genuinely really looking forward to the series. And yes, I admit it's going to be fun to have a team that I'll actually have a little bit more of a rooting interest to beat, because I'd say it's the team I've been rooting to beat more than any other team since the Dodgers, I'd say. Dodgers is still, oh my God, like, yeah, are you kidding me? Those games are, oh my God, it's like Yankees Red Sox right now. But for the Astros, it's like, all right, I have a little bit more of a little hatred. But granted, do I on the side not feel totally bad if Carlos Correa gets a hit? Yeah, just a little bit.
All right, real quick, we did this with Jeff the other day. Let's see how good you know the Astros versus Padres stats. Okay, who has scored the most runs this year, the Astros or Padres?
Astros.
Yes, 255, 237. Who has most hits?
Ooh, most hits. I'm going to go Astros again, but I bet, is that closer?
No, not even close. 455 to 400. Who has the most homers?
Ooh, no, still, it's got to be Astros.
Yeah, it's not Slam Diego. It's 56 to 49. Who has the most strikeouts?
Astros.
No.
Really?
Astros have the fewest strikeouts in baseball. They're still 30th.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yes. Oh my God.
336 to 414. Y'all are 23rd in baseball with the fewest strikeout. The Astros are 30th. Who has the highest batting average?
Astros?
Yes. Okay. Who has the lowest ERA?
The Padres.
Yes. 260 to 384. That's not even close. And yeah, who has the most strikeouts?
From pitching staff, yes. Padres.
Yes, 538 to 440.
That's a good tale of two cities. And now I'm going to ask you guys in a quick second some questions. But it definitely hasn't been Slam Diego so far. However, it felt like you were trying to roast me with those stats, man. It felt like you were trying to just put them on board. No, I'm just kidding. Eric's a good guy. But it's, I would love to see what the stats are, because the last 2 weeks, the Padres offense is starting to look a little bit more like it was the first month. Oh God. I mean, I'm watching Tommy Pham ground double plays like twice in the same game. Tatis striking out left and right, was batting 140 at one point. Now he's batting 290, which just goes to show you about the sample sizes thing. But I'm wondering about you guys.
Today's game either.
What happened?
That wasn't today's games, today's stats either. So.
Oh, nice, nice. I'm wondering though about the Astros. What is kind of the outlook in terms of what players do you think have room to improve? What are the players that maybe Padres fans aren't paying attention to? Because I feel like people know about Yordan. They know about Alex Bregman, right? But who are kind of some under-the-radar guys do you think that have been performing well for the Astros, or guys that haven't been performing well for the Astros, whatever?
Well, I believe Kyle Tucker has taken a hold of his role as a very good hitter. He has picked up his average about 40, 50 points in the last couple of weeks, and he can just absolutely crush a ball. And I don't know that he's a household name yet. Guys that I don't, Yuli he's having an MVP type year at the plate. Last year he had a major drop off and it was a 60 game season. Mm-hmm. But really, there's not a whole lot of guys that are surprising, because a lot of our guys that we signed, relief pitchers and stuff, that we thought were going to be really stellar, have been somewhat, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Now, Brooks Raley, in the last seven games he's pitched, has been shut down. He went through a stretch about 2 or 3 weeks where he was terrible. So if Raley and Stanek can you know, get on board, I tell you, who surprised me the most is Joe Smith, how bad he's been this year. Because he was a guy, we were like, yes, he's back. Like, we got Joe Smith back. And yeah. So.
Yeah, the Astros do not have a wealth of bullpen arms right now. But, you know, if you want to have a wealth of something, go to Wealthfront. So, Brett, tell us a little bit about Wealthfront.
Well, let me tell you, stonks, memes, rocket ships. I'm not talking about SpaceX or Javi's Twitter account. I'm talking about day trading. And it can be a lot of fun. But if you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data show that investors trade individual stocks. They underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. So listen to me right now. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized for you in minutes. That's right. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences that you control. Wealthfront can help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low 0.25% advisory fee, and that's important. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion in assets, not million, Dr. Evil. That's right. And you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. Maybe Tatis with this big contract should go to Wealthfront because all he needs is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, that's right, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's wealthfront.com, because we love you, MOU. Anyways, I digress, and /lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today.
And I know, Javier, you're drinking that water, and I know you're so tempted to have that Built Bar sitting right next to you, but it's going to be hard to talk. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, look, man, I've been shouting from the mountaintops, from Mount Olympus, from the Empire State Building for what seems like an eternity now. Built Bars, they're quite simply the best protein bars around. I mean, they're covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, all that stuff. And what I like about them the most, great variety of flavors. You know, they give me a Ben and Jerry's vibe with the amount of flavors they've got. They've got everything from coconut to double chocolate, salted caramel, orange, birthday cake, coconut brownie chunk, all these things. And not to mention, there's all these limited time flavors that pop up every now and then. So you can go check those out. It's really great. And like I said, they're protein bars. They are healthy for you. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams net carbs. I know, both of you. You're probably wondering, you know, where do you get these things? Everyone's got to be wondering. They're delicious. Where are they? Well, you can get them by going to builtbar.com. And since you've been listening to this here podcast, we got a special code for you. Use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Remember, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com for all my hungry people out there and all my fit people out there. And honestly, just people who enjoy good things. Go check them out.
Alrighty, and I think earlier what Javier was kind of asking for is some players that need to improve, and one of the players is Miles Straw. Miles Straw has been handed the keys to center field after George Springer has left, and he struggled, and he struggled with trying to catch. He's struggled to try to hit, and this is a guy who a lot of people have been calling for his job, and he's made some strides, but at the same time, there's Jose Siri at AAA who's knocking at the door. He's leading the AAA in RBIs last I checked. And so he is somebody who needs to improve. And Christian Javier is somebody who came out of the gate like throwing strikes, then he got sent down to AAA. And now he's been, because of his lack of command, deeper into his starts, he's been moved to the bullpen. And so these are some guys that the Astros were looking to count on. But now they've, I know Straw is still going to be your center fielder for now, But the Astros have been having some people that they were counting on kind of taking a step back. But the good news is that Framber Valdez and Jake Odorizzi are back in the rotation starting Friday and Saturday. So that is the big news that I didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday. I know, Brett, you talked about that. So let's go and talk about the Friday start. It's going to be Denelson Lament. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Basically. He's been in the bullpen, you said?
Yeah, he's been in the bullpen. They're trying to like work him up. And I guess that I didn't, because I was just checking that beforehand, and I guess I just haven't been following my Twitter feed or whatnot all day. About Lament, because he's been looking better. It was scary because his first appearance of the season, they said full, you know, all silos, all, everything's full go. And then he lasted two innings and then had the forearm tightness, which made everyone freak out. But then he came back like a week later for his start after it landing on the IL. Velocity was down. And then he's been in the bullpen ever since. And they're showing signs, but still, it's very awkward, the situation with Denelson Lament right now. I think a lot of people are wondering, will he ever be able to return to starting pitching form? Because he's clearly, that's what he is. He's not a bullpen guy. But right now, the Padres are just trying to get him back into the groove of things, hopefully. Him and his wipeout slider that nearly won him a Cy Young last year.
And, you know, this is a much-anticipated start because Framber Valdez coming into this year, he was looking to be, like, our ace. There were people that were legitimately saying that Framber Valdez should be considered the opening day pitcher in 2021. And then he had that freak incident where he caught that comebacker, put his hand in his glove, and broke his finger. And then they were like, well, he's out of season. And then they were like, he's coming back. And then Dusty Baker said he's healing like the Predator and all that stuff. But he started, he looked good in Triple A Sugarland. He threw four scoreless innings on 54 pitches against the Padres Triple A team, against the El Paso Chihuahuas. So I think Framber Valdez coming back is going to be huge. Javi, last year he had a massive year because he went and basically talked to somebody about the confidence issues he was having, basically like a, almost like a psychologist. And this person he talked about openly helped him focus mentally. And he was an animal. And he is the guy that Mike Trout has said has the nastiest breaking pitch in all of Major League Baseball. So for us as Astros fans and Astros Nation, this is a welcome return, especially when you have a lineup like yours that is so dangerous on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So absolutely. Looking at this, Javier, I can't see either pitcher going too deep into this game. I can see them maybe going four, maybe five innings if we're mm-hmm. lucky.
And yeah, that actually reminds me, I'm just remembering quite now, with the whole Lament thing, basically the Padres are doing the six-man rotation thing. So that's probably why, which probably means that we're getting Yu Darvish on Saturday. Yeah, Saturday.
Yes, yes.
Which should be a blast. Who is pitching for the Astros
on the Saturday Jake game? Odorizzi.
So Jake Odorizzi. Oh, man. It's so funny to think back because my off-season wish list, like the idiot that I am, I was like, look, I think we should wait to see how Lament's doing. You still got Luis Patino, Mackenzie Gore, some good prospects, and Lament, you know, like I said, you wait how he's doing. You still can hope for a bounce back from Chris Paddock and all these guys. And then they just decide to completely screw that. But I was just like, yeah, Jake Odorizzi might be a guy. He's been good a couple years ago, but then he got a little bit banged up and hurt. Now he's with the Astros, and it feels like, yeah, I'm just going to pretend. I mean, I just outed myself on the air, but I'm just going to pretend I didn't recommend getting Jake Odorizzi because from what I've heard, he's been struggling this year.
Well, he has trouble with the Crawford boxes because he's allowed what? In his first start, he allowed four home runs or three home runs, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And it was a struggle, and he said, yeah, I'm going to have to figure out how to pitch here if I'm a –
yeah, that didn't strike confidence in I know in me. I was like, oh wait, can we have Jake Odorizzi start on the road in like Great American Ballpark or someone that's not a hitter's ballpark,
He was making some strides and then he left that one start, and that's when Kent Emmanuel came in and pitched 8 2/3 innings and basically saved the bullpen that day. But so that's gonna be the Saturday start, and then Sunday, it's going to be Zach Greinke versus TBD. How's this curveball?
TBD. TBD's got the nastiest curveball I've seen in years, man. I mean, that thing, he throws it up into the sky and then it lands. Like, Yeah, I'm talking like an Alex Reyes of the Cardinals-esque curveball, but like on steroids, man. It's just okay. Absolutely unblue. No, I would imagine that Blake Snell should be projected to make that start. Okay. But again, we'll have to see what the Padres are playing. Yeah, I imagine he'll be in that game, though.
Well, you know, I heard TBD is a native of Saskatoon up in Canada, and he's got a really, you know, he says A a lot, and I think Sean Woodley knows him. So, you know, maybe he's, you know, Canadian, and hey, it's America's hat, so. TBD, I hear he's a good guy.
Okay.
Wait, just go. Just go. Come on, man. Don't give me that. You know what's funny.
Alrighty. So this is, from what it seems like, is it's going to be a well-pitched series. I don't know about the game one. Game one, it seems, I mean, nothing gets Framber Valdez. He lasted four innings in his last start in AAA. We'll see how long both pitchers can go, but outside of that, I think this Albert says that TBD is going to be next Nolan Ryan, so we'll see. But yeah, I hope this is a good series, because I don't know if you've seen our schedule, but it's brutal. After this, we play the Red Sox twice, then we play the Blue Jays, it's just crazy, and then it doesn't get any better. So I know the Dodgers, they played us pretty well. They embarrassed us in national TV in game one, but at least we took it to Trevor Bauer, and so that was good in game two. But
that's right. That was the Correa home run, Puerto Rican power.
That was
there
poetic
you go.
Justice. That was poetic justice, because back in February, he was just like, these guys, they ruined a lot of people's lives. And like, they acted like, you know, the Astros were these purveyors of all things evil. And I love getting one over Tyler Bauer. I mean, he was even trolling our fan base, Javi. He went to Minute Maid Park, because he lives in Houston, like the Woodlands area. And he was at Minute Maid Park, and he's like, hey, what's up, Houston, when he was a free agent. And so people were having this actual conversation. Should we sign Bauer? Would that be? I'm like, heck no. No, I would never sign that guy, especially $40 million. Anyways, yeah, that was great.
He's been good this year.
He's been good this year, though.
Last time, and the Astros won, so I'm gonna do it again.
And I'm not gonna make a comment on his lamenting of the Astros franchise and all that stuff. I don't like talking about this anymore. It's too long now. But I will say, with you guys and your tough schedule, since you know the Padres are playing well, I agree. Also, after this series, the Padres go and play Chicago, which is not like an incredible team, but I'm excited for that series. And then they play the Mets, my second favorite player in the league. I have to like Tatis number one, obviously, but aside from Tatis, Francisco Lindor, who is struggling, you know, I don't know how I'm going to feel if, when they eventually play the Mets, that he figures it out finally against my team. I mean, like, my king, couldn't you just wait? You know what I mean? Just a little bit, but yeah, for sure. We're starting to get into, you know, some interesting times in baseball, because you have those first 40 or so games, and now you're starting to learn a little bit more concretely about what teams are really actually capable of, instead of the fluky things like the Mariners start off the season like 12-6 or whatever, right? So we're going to see what everybody's made of, including the Red Sox that you're going to be playing in. I'm not totally buying the Red Sox totally, but at some point you're going to have to, and I guess they just have the best offense of all time. So we're going to have to see how that pans out for sure. I'm really excited for the series, though.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but how about Joe West making a pitcher take a hat off, because there's some suspicious substance on there. He's like, yeah, if you want to pitch, you got to take that off. And then I think Josh Donaldson saying, yeah, I've got well documented how pitchers are cheating. And there's a lot of stuff coming out, and MLB's just like, nope, I don't see anything.
Yeah, so. baseball doing the Quiet Place meme, right? You know, the can't see and all that. Yeah, the baseball's in. It's such a weird. Don't have time for this. I don't have time. I don't have time to get into it. We don't. It's
in
like
a weird place.
Things. Yeah,
but just remember, there's only one Mike Fiers, and nobody can be Mike Fiers except Mike Fiers.
Yeah, definitely not Eric Kratz. Eric Kratz cannot come out and say, "Yeah, the Rockies cheated," and the who?
The Rockies cheated because it gave them such an advantage.
I don't know if you guys saw that Trevor Story got pulled from a game today. And it was the only exciting thing that's happened for the Rockies all season. Wow. The fact that there might have been a trade or whatever, but instead it was some shoulder tightness or whatever, like something like that. And it's like, oh, like every baseball fan is like, look, I can't wait. Maybe he's getting traded. That would have been so much more fun. I can't wait to see if he gets traded. That's really not a good position the Rockies are in. But anyway, go ahead.
Real quick, series predictions. I'm going to say the Astros win 2 of 3. Go ahead, Brett.
I'm going to say 2 of 3 homer, but I don't know. Like, if the Padres hit home runs, I think the Padres can easily take 2 at home. But I'm picking 2 games out of 3 for the Astros. I'm picking the first game, Friday, and Sunday's game. I think Saturday Darvish locks them up.
I'm going to go with 2 out of 3 for the Padres, only because I'm using last year as evidence. Last year, when we purchased your entire state, we didn't just beat the Astros and sweep them. We also swept the Rangers.
The
and we are the Rangers. You heard of them?
They're up in Oklahoma.
Yeah, they're in Oklahoma.
and then the Rangers this year we've swept. So I say we keep it going. But I do think that the Astros have a better, not a better team than last year. It's just their team is playing better than they were last year. Bregman was down. Altuve was down. I think Alvarez was hurt last year. They were just kind of a little bit of a lost team, except for Correa, hilariously enough, who just embraced everything and had an incredible postseason run. I think that they get 2 out of 3, and they keep their kind of winning streak going against Texas.
All righty, guys. That's all we got for today's Locked On Astros podcast. And today on the Locked On Today podcast, best player in the NBA playoffs so far? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.